We turn our attention to the UFC. It's UFC Fight Night with Danny Brasco, Hayden Iverson, right here on The Early Edge. You can watch it, of course, on Paramount Plus. And like we always do before we get into our best bets, we talk about storylines. Danny Brasco, how about a main event storyline? We've got Cop versus Horiguchi.
Well, see, this is a rematch 9 years in the making, and a flyweight title shot is up for grabs. This is basically an eliminator between two top five opponents. Man, these guys fought back in Ryzen in that promotion many years ago in 2017. And Cop was just 23 years old then. He was raw. He was aggressive. He was hungry, but he wasn't the refined striker, the mixed martial artist that he is now. Horiguchi took advantage of that. He dropped him several times. Cop was taunting him, fighting with his ego, and the veteran just outclassed him, finished him with an arm triangle submission. You fast forward to today, Manel Cop is the number two ranked flyweight, and oh man, has his game been pretty to watch. He's on a three-fight knockout streak, and he faces a guy now that's, you know, his senior, who's looked really good in his second stint with UFC. I mean, the guy's 9-1 with the promotion. Horiguchi back in the day went 7-1 with his only loss against Demetrius Mighty Mouse Johnson. He's so good everywhere. This is a fantastic skill-for-skill matchup, and I'm thrilled for it. See, whoever wins is on the doorstep of a title shot.
Hayden Iverson, we've got Cop as about a minus 155 favorite over at BetMGM. What's your main event storyline?
Well, I'm very interested to see if Manel Cop can figure out the style of Kyoji Horiguchi, because as Danny mentioned last 9 years ago, he could not figure out what was going on. I think Kyoji cleanly won that fight and ultimately ended up submitting him in round three, but that was a long time ago. We've seen what Manel Cop has done since then, and it's knocked people out in spectacular fashion. But we've also seen Kyoji Horiguchi rack up win after win after win, and since coming back to the UFC, he made Tajiri Ulanbekov look clueless out there. He made Emir Albazi look clueless. He has a very different type of style of striking than Manel Cop, but in a way, they're a little bit similar, where they like to counter-strike their opponents. So I'm interested to see what Manel Cop can do this time around, what adjustments he can make going into this matchup to try to figure out the puzzle that is Kyoji Horiguchi.
Let's move to a co-main event storyline. Light heavyweight division, we got Sterling Kudalaba. Sterling, a big favorite over at BetMGM. Hayden, what's your storyline here?
I'm interested to see if Navajo Sterling's ready for a ranking, because the UFC have kind of slow rolled this guy, and I think they've done a good job at doing that, because he came into the UFC at, what, 5-0? So, I mean, this is not a guy that has a ton of experience. He hasn't taken his first loss, but he's looked good in pretty much every fight that he's had, and he's gone to decision in three of his four wins, which I think is good for his development. But we have kind of been waiting to see him have that one stamp on his career to be like, okay, this guy is ready for that next jump up in competition. And he got the knockout against Bruno Lopez his last time out, but he was a huge favorite in that one as well. Now, this is a guy, Iwan Kudalaba, who's been around for a very long time. He's got almost 20 UFC fights in his bag. So, I mean, he has seen anything that you could imagine at the UFC level. And I would say he's kind of that gatekeeper to the light heavyweight ranking. So if he can get past Kudalaba, the light heavyweight division needs some new faces in there. And I think Navajo Sterling, city kickboxing guy, would fit in that top 15 pretty easily.
Danny Brasco, your thoughts? I mean, if he wins this fight, can we say Navajo Sterling's for real, or do we already think that?
Yeah, really have to echo a lot of Hayden's sentiments. The city kickboxing 9-0 prospect has really started to come into his game, I think. Like Hayden mentioned, he went the distance in a few fights. I like that, getting rounds in, and now you can show that you're a knockout artist. In his last fight, he was picking his shots a lot better, his timing, his feinting, he's setting things up with punches in front of it, and he's showing that he's got anti-grappling too. Kudalaba is a raw, hungry, aggressive fighter. He's tough to deal with in there. He's a good cage fighter. He can just break you, intimidate you with the power and the physical strength. But I think Sterling's got the anti-grappling against the fence that those city kickboxing guys just all are known for. And if he can keep this fight standing, he's going to look good and maybe get himself a number next to his name.
Danny, a lot of other great fights on this card. How about one more storyline?
Oh, low-key, one of my favorite fighters in the UFC. Hyder the Hurricane Emil is back this weekend, and he's a guy that can just push the pace and put it on his opponents, but wasn't able to do that in his last two fights. On a two-fight losing streak, because he was dealing with severe ulcers and a mysterious stomach illness that plagued him since before his knockout loss to Jose Delgado, he just didn't have the classic Hyder the Hurricane style that breaks his opponents. He says he's since dealt with those medical issues. He's healthy and he feels younger and stronger than ever. That is a scary prospect for his opponent, Christian Rodriguez, who's a very skilled martial artist, but skills go out the window when you're gassed and Hyder just breaks guys in there. I'm excited to see him back in the octagon. See ya.
Emil, plus 165 on the money line against Christian Rodriguez in the featherweight division. Hayden, your other storyline to consider outside of the main and co-main.
Yeah, I got to look at another featherweight and a guy that's making his featherweight debut in the UFC, Vinicius Oliveira, moving up a weight class after the main event loss to Mario Bautista earlier this year. He looked really, really good at 135, but he was cutting what he says was 50 pounds over the course of his training camp to make that weight. And we saw in the last fight that kind of caught up to him. The activity, having to cut that much weight will catch up to you eventually. And he put on a very poor performance against Mario Bautista. And apparently he actually went into that fight with a broken arm or a broken wrist as well. So maybe this could be the start of new beginnings for Vinicius Oliveira at 145, who kind of took the bantamweight division by storm. We didn't really expect this guy to make the run that he did, but he looked very good at that weight class. Now taking the step back, going up a weight class to 145, we'll see if that's his true weight class or if at 135, that size that he was able to bring into the octagon was actually the best attribute that he could bring.
All right. Well, we gotta get really into the nitty gritty, folks. We actually got to get to our best bets with a lot of the names that we just mentioned. And oh, by the way, if you want to get Hayden Iverson picks or Danny Brasco picks or some of my picks or anybody in the Sportsline universe, go over to sportsline.com/join. And while you're there enjoying everything that Sportsline has to offer, make sure you get into our Discord. That's at discord.gg/sportsline. Again, discord.gg/sportsline. Well, like I said, we got to get to our best bets in the UFC on Saturday night. That's coming up next on The Early Edge. We're back for UFC Fight Night on The Early Edge with Danny Brasco, Hayden Iverson. Let's start with our favorite prelim bet. Hayden Iverson, kick us off.
I'm going to look at a featherweight matchup here between Michael Aswell and Gaston Bolanos. And I'm going to take Michael Aswell, the big favorite, to get it done inside the distance by knockout or submission. I like this matchup for Michael Aswell. I think usually if you're going to go into a fight knowing that your opponent's not going to take you down, you can kind of let your hands go a little bit more. And I'm not saying Michael Aswell hasn't had those fights before, but in this one, I think he has a big boxing advantage when you look at just pure hands. Gaston Bolanos is a Muay Thai guy that has kind of seen some limitations to his style in the UFC. He's gone in both of his losses, he's gotten finished in. And I think Michael Aswell in the smaller cage at the Apex is really going to be able to let his hands go against Bolanos, who has a lot of defensive flaws with his striking. We've seen him knocked out by Marcus McGee. We've seen a hurt in almost every single one of his UFC fights. And I think Aswell, being the younger guy, the more durable guy, is going to get downhill on Bolanos and probably finish him within the second or the third round. I think that pace that Aswell puts on guys is really going to allow him to let go, put a lot of damage on, and ultimately get the finish here. Plus 150 when he's about a minus 400 favorite, I think it's a solid number.
Danny, another big favorite is Bia Mesquita, and you're figuring out a way, just like Hayden, to get this into some sort of plus money scenario.
Yeah, that's right. And I think the clear advantage is on the ground. I like Bia Mesquita to get the submission at plus 105. We get some plus odds on a big favorite, like you mentioned. And just her jiu-jitsu is on another level than Melissa Mullins. Mullins likes to go to the ground and ground and pound her opponents. If she engages in the grappling, I think she's going to pay for that and really regret that decision. Mesquita, training out of American Top Team, is undefeated. She looks like a prospect that's really going to be here and maybe be a problem in this division. And I think she just shows simply that she's a level above in this one. If it gets to the ground, look for her to lace up a choke, threaten from any position, really. I like Mesquita to win by sub.
All right, Danny Brasco, let's get to underdogs that we like. You talked about Emil a few minutes ago, and we're betting on him at plus money.
Yeah, I mean, if you like Hyder the Hurricane as an underdog with a clean bill of health, you got to take these odds. Plus 170, I think that he has a real shot to beat Christian Rodriguez, a guy who's 2-3 in his last five fights. I mentioned on the intro, I do think that he's probably the more skilled martial artist. Maybe his jiu-jitsu game, his submission skills are higher level. But Emil's a guy that just makes your skills not count for much in round three when you're huffing and puffing. He never stops. He has a relentless pace about him. He can mix up his attack. He's willing to kickbox. He's willing to scramble. He can wrestle. And I think C-Rod has more likely to, you know, to take damage in this fight. Just the death by a thousand paper cuts, constant pressure style of Emil is going to break him. I think if this fight is 1-1 going into the third, you want to have a plus 170 Haider Emil ticket in your pocket. So I'll take him as a dog. See ya.
And Hayden, I'm sure you've got something to add here, but you also like this at plus 170, and you also like another underdog at plus 240.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with Danny here, and I'm going to look at this one through a lens of, you look at the ages, Haider Emil is 36, Christian Rodriguez is 28, Haider Emil is on a two-fight losing streak. There's a lot of reasons why Emil would be a plus money underdog here, but I just don't think we were getting the Haider Emil that we once knew because of the health implications that Danny laid out in our storylines. I think 2025 seemed to be a very rough year for Haider Emil, and I think he can bounce back here against a guy like Christian Rodriguez, who I don't really see where Christian Rodriguez is better. I think maybe pure jiu-jitsu, but in the striking, it'll be competitive. In the wrestling, it'll be competitive, if not even better for Haider, who's going to go in there and push a pace. You know he's going to fight for your money. He's tough as nails, and when the going gets tough, he's not going to mail it in. So I like Haider at plus 170. I think it should be closer to a pick'em, and it's never really Christian Rodriguez at chalk. He's more of a guy you want to play at plus money against the guy that wants to take him down to where he can use that defensive grappling. So I like Haider there at plus 170. And then I also like Andre Feely at plus 240. I laid out Vinicius Oliveira going up to 145, and I'm just not really sure if he's going to be able to use that size and physicality at this weight class. He has really gone in there and used that size to bully his opponents, gas them out, and overwhelm them. But now he's going up against a 5'11", 74-inch reach Andre Feely, who's a big dude for the weight class, has a ton of experience in his bag, and recently moved to Las Vegas within the last year and a half and kind of doubled down on his career to try to cement himself at 35 years of age. And I love that. I thought he looked very good in his last two fights. He's coming off a split decision loss to Jose Delgado, but Delgado's such a dynamic striker and very, very dangerous. And Feely survived the whole fight, looked very good, competed as a huge underdog in that fight as well. So I think Feely can compete in this one. I think he could maybe even find a knockout against Vinicius Oliveira, who puts himself out there to get hit. So I like that plus 240. It seems like way wide to me. I think he should be a lot closer to a pick'em. If not, you know, plus 160, plus 170 for Feely makes a little bit more sense. But where the line is at right now, I think there's a lot of value on Feely.
Two great picks from Hayden Iverson. I'm going to let you take a breath. As I asked Danny Brasco for the best main event pick, we talked about it earlier. We set it up. We set up the storyline, Cop versus Horiguchi. Danny, what's the play?
I think you're seeing Manel Cop lined as the favorite 9 years later for a reason. I like him on the money line at minus 155. I think he's got a chance to finish Kyoji Horiguchi here just because the small cage is the number one factor here. Manel Cop's speed and athleticism at this point in his career is fully developed. I think he's in peak form, and it's going to catch up to Horiguchi, who, yes, just floats around the octagon with his crafty footwork, cutting all these angles, looking to confuse his opponents. But in that small apex octagon, I think it's going to give more of a chance for Manel Cop to track him down, to set up combinations, to use his feinting, to cut off the cage, and eventually find just a combo of shots that compromises Horiguchi. Horiguchi's been on a great streak, but if you look back to some of his fights maybe a few years ago, he's gotten knocked out. He's lost to lesser competition, guys like Patchy Mix, Sergio Pettis, and maybe he's revamped himself, but he is also coming off a broken hand. He's an extremely lovable guy. He's so skilled, but I think he's running into Manel Cop at the worst possible time in his career. I think Cop lets off just a gorgeous string of shots and puts Kyoji Horiguchi away. But in case Horiguchi's tough enough to go the distance, I'll take Cop on the money line and become the next flyweight title challenger. See ya.
Hayden, you like Manel Cop as well, but you're going to raise the ante a little bit, get the juice in the plus range, knockout.
Yeah, I'm going to echo a lot of the same sentiments as Danny, but I think the money line is about accurate here at Cop minus 150, minus 160 range, so I don't see a ton of value playing him straight up on the money line. I want to look more towards the plus value here on Manel Cop by KO at plus 200 because Kyoji Horiguchi is a very good minute winner from range because he has such good footwork. He's not really going to put himself into firefights. He's going to stay to the outside, hit you with jabs, hit you with right hands, and try to counter-strike you. And in that realm, he's not really losing a lot of minutes on the feet. So I don't really see Cop banking rounds here. I see him really waiting for his opportunity to close the distance, cut him off up against the cage in the smaller cage of the apex and try to find a KO blow. And I think it's a very tough ask for Kyoji to go 25 minutes with a striker like Manel Cop without getting hit very cleanly at some point. So at plus 200, I think there's a lot of ways within 25 minutes where Manel Cop can find that shot. And I don't really want to lay the minus 150, but at plus 200 for Cop to get a KO, how I think he will win for a guy like Manel, who's not really winning a lot of decisions. I think he's 3-5 when fights go the distance. I'd much rather play the plus 200, lower my risk, get more upside with the plus money.
Very and Sia, may I just that. Add that? I think, yeah. Sorry to cut you off, Sia. May I just add that Manel Cop, seemingly when he loses, it's him beating himself. His mind is his own worst enemy. It's been his hesitation, his lack of output when he loses, or his aggression and, you know, and lack of being measured when he was younger. Now I think he's got the mental clarity to win a fight like this.
All right, let's channel our mental clarity and give out two best bets for UFC Fight Night Saturday night. Again, you can catch all the fights on Paramount Plus. Hayden Iverson, two best bets.
Yeah, first one's going to be the underdog, Haider Amil, plus 170. As I said, I think this should be closer to a pick'em. And if the fight does go the distance, I think we're going to get a 29-28 either way. Or maybe even Haider Amil just closes the show with a 30-27. I do think there's more finishing upside on the side of Haider as well. I think there's more firepower coming from his side than a guy like Christian Rodriguez. He's got to watch out for the chokes on the ground. Christian Rodriguez got a good anaconda choke, good Darce choke. So he's got to protect his neck. But if he does that, I think he should be able to outwork C-Rod over the course of 15 minutes to get his hand raised. And then we're going to pair that with Michael Aswell to get a finish at plus 150. I love the matchup for him. I think he's going to be able to let his hands go. Gaston's 33 compared to 25. I like the age difference on the side of Aswell. Big favorite there. We get it at plus 150 for him to get a finish. I think there's going to be too many exchanges throughout the fight for Bolanos to deal with. So give me Aswell to get a finish.
All right, Brasco, you got two best bets coming.
Yeah, we got to rattle it off for Haider Amil again. I'll go plus 3.5 just in case it's a close 29-28 like Hayden kind of laid out. That means he would just have to win one round on the unanimous judges' scorecards to cover that spread. And we talk about what Haider Amil was going through. I mentioned the stomach infection, the ulcers that he still winced through and went the distance with Jamal Emmers in his last fight. But Hayden said he had a rough year. The guy lost family members. His dog died. Like, he went through everything you could possibly go through and still fought as hard as he possibly could. People saying he didn't look like his old self. We know why now. I mean, this guy comes back, the old Haider. He's winning at least a round. We like him as a dog, and we're taking him on the spread as well. And look at this plus chicken, Sia, plus 440 for an Andre Lima submission. I mean, I think the clear edge in his fight against Kevin Borjas is on the ground. Borjas is a very skilled MMA boxer. He's got a cracking right hand, but Lima just has more MMA tools in his arsenal. He seems to be the real deal at 11-0. I think he takes this fight to the floor, takes Borjas's back, and cashes a big ticket at plus money for a sub on Lima.
All right, that's two best bets from Danny Brasco and two best bets from Hayden Iverson. Gentlemen, we got 30 seconds. Can you give me, Brasco, there's so much to look forward to with the UFC on Paramount Plus. I couldn't help but notice that Conor McGregor's fighting Holloway sometime within the next 30 days, or like mid-July-ish. Brasco, give me 10 seconds on that, and then Hayden, you as well.
They were hilarious on the UFC White House coverage. They were on a podcast, and McGregor says, "You won't lay a glove on me, Holloway." I don't know about that. Holloway's minus 315, Hayden.
Yeah, I mean, there's not really a lot of, you know, belief that McGregor makes this big comeback, but considering we saw Justin Gaethje pull off the upset, Sean Strickland pull off the upset, for McGregor to come back and get a W, it only seems right for another underdog to come through.
A lot to look forward to, a lot to smile at. Danny Brasco, Hayden Iverson, thank you very much. You can catch these gentlemen on the Early Edge Network show, but of course, on the Early Edge Sportsline YouTube channel every Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock. Everyone, have a great weekend. Enjoy your Friday. We'll see you next time on the Early Edge.
Where are you sending us?
Well, this is a fun one.
On July 23rd, boldly go one step closer to where it all began.
What we are about to do cannot be taken back.
Stream the new season of Star Trek Strange New Worlds, July 23rd on Paramount+.